This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Would you look at that? It's a new episode of First Edition. With the Book Riot podcast going to two episodes a week in the fall, spring, January. Take a little bit of a hiatus with First Edition to get my head wrapped around what I want to do here. So a couple of programming notes. First of all, this episode I recorded with Jason Snell at the end of January, believe it or not. And I got a really nasty case of COVID. Took me a while to get up and back going, and then stuff had backed up. So releasing this now, but I also want to announce a new release schedule for First Edition. There are going to be two episodes guaranteed a month on the first and third Thursdays. I know that's weird and hard to remember, but there's going to be at least two, and then some other stuff dropping in as I have other stuff to do. The It Books of the Month have gone over to the Book Riot podcast, so check that out. There's a link in the show notes there. And the first of these new twice a month podcasts are going to come out this Thursday, but I've got this one I wanted to get out. Jason was so kind to come on and talk to me about the state of e-reading. He writes his personal site, Six Colors, has a wonderful podcast called The Incomparable, all kinds of nerd culture stuff. And I've been reading him talking about e-readers for a long, long time. So I'm checking him about e-readers, what makes an ideal e-reader, some weird ones coming out, some recommendations for those of you who may be interested in an e-reader or getting a new one, or someone in your life as an e-reader. So here we go. Jason Sell from Six Colors on First Edition. So now I'm with Jason Snell, who is someone I've been reading about e-readers writing for a long time. And it's a weird time to talk to you, Jason, because you've been writing about the 40th anniversary of the Mac this week, and right. Then Vision Pro comes next week. And here yep. I am making you talk about e-readers, which e-readers. Are like an evolutionary weird, like they're like the horseshoe mm-hmm. crabs of the world where they're still around and we don't think yeah. about them, but bless you them. Do and bless yeah. them. Could you talk about your personal history of as an e-reader and your device sort of genealogy?
Yeah. I mean, if we want to go way back, I in college, I started an online magazine, basically, that was short fiction called Intertext. And it was, I did that for about 10 years. And so toward the latter part of that, I was reading story submissions. And I decided I had been printing them or reading them on a computer. And I was, at some point in the late 90s, I was working in the city and living in Marin County. And I took a ferry to work and from work. And I actually started loading those submissions on a Palm handheld.
Yeah, yeah.
My friend John Syracuse actually worked at Peanut Press, right? So he was e-publishing on the Palm. I was doing it more in this sort of like transfer where I loaded them all up into files and would just sit there and read them. And then I had a little mobile file maker where I could score them and then sync it all back, and whether this was a keep it or reject it kind of thing. But really so that was my first kind of step into it. I think really my first real step into what we consider modern ebooks. So I bought the first Kindle.
Yeah.
It was super weird and I returned it.
Did?
I did. I didn't think it was good enough. I thought the interface was really bad and it didn't want comfortable to hold the buttons yeah. with these weird angled buttons, and I had the little shiny stripe that you had to slide up with a wheel, and I returned it. I was like, this is not good enough. And the next year the second Kindle came out, and I bought that one and I kept it. And honestly, I got that second Kindle while I was reading a Neal Stephenson novel. I don't even remember which one, but they're all about 1,000 pages long. And I had that moment where I realized I was about to go on a trip and I could load 20 books on the Kindle and it would not weigh a fraction of what one hardcover, especially that classic hardcover experience where you're 100 pages from the end and you're about to go on an airplane.
You're like, you're folding yourself up and your carpal tunnels are screaming. It's horrible.
I'll finish this the first hour of the flight, and then I've got a 6-pound book to carry around the rest of my trip. So that was, I just remember having those realizations in those days. Since then, I have bought not every Kindle, but I have bought a lot of Kindle generations since then. And then over the last few years, I bought a Kobo Libra, which I really liked. I currently, my primary e-reader is a Libra 2. My thought there was basically like I was feeling unhappy with Amazon's library integration and unhappy with Amazon as a monopoly, and decided let's try the Kobo. And the Kobo software at that point was miles ahead of Amazon's software. The funny thing is, shortly thereafter, Amazon did a major software update, and I think their software is vastly improved and to the point where I think that they're pretty close to each other. I there are still things I prefer about the Kobo software, but for the most part, I think that they're equal, which is funny because, I mean, what drove me to the Kobo primarily was the fact that the Kindle software was so bad for so long. They did kind of get their act together, and I have a Kindle Oasis. Mm-hmm. I have all the Kindle Oases. I had the first generation one, the second, and the third. And I think the Kindle Oasis, in terms of the hardware, is probably the best e-reader, my favorite piece of hardware. But I find myself using the Libra 2 more often, mostly because there are still things about the Kobo software that I prefer.
Yeah.
But I can go back and forth because I'm enough of a weirdo to have both of those pieces of hardware.
Well, there's and not then, a...
Yeah. No, and then I've been exploring to see if there are other options in the e-reader game. And I've sort of spent a long time exploring to come to the realization that maybe there aren't any that I consider acceptable for most people.
Well, but I want to back up for a second because you have, and I think it's a really good one, a list of sort of requirements you're looking for in a Jason Snell friendly e-reader, right? And they're not going to be the same for everybody. I mean, everyone's going to have a slightly different thing, but could you talk about what you're looking for? And you're looking for the right combination, the right elixir that's put together for you. But talk about what you're looking for in moving from your daily driver into something new.
Yeah, well, the Libra and the Oasis are pretty much what I want. It's a, they're those, what, 7-inch diagonal e-ink screen. That's the right size for me. I have, my wife uses a Kobo Sage that's the larger one. And it's nicer, but it's bigger. And I don't like that as well as I like this.
Is that like a Kindle Scribe size? I don't know that one off the top of my head.
I mean, it's an 8-inch. So it's just a little bit bigger.
Okay.
But it is bigger. It's got the flush screen. The biggest failing in the Kobo Libra 2 is that it's still a recessed screen, which means hair and dust gets in the corners. And the Oasis has it over that. And the Oasis is a metal back, and the Kobo is all plastic. The Kobo is also way cheaper than the Oasis, which brings me to my number one thing. I mean, okay, having the side lighting is clearly, it's just side lighting, waterproof, like all those things are table stakes for me right now.
Right. Yeah.
But I'll tell you, page turn buttons for me a deal breaker. And I know a lot of people don't care. And I've tried so many times to write about why I think the ergonomics of page turn buttons are so good, but the short version is you're holding the device and your thumb or finger is on
right
the next page button.
Totally agree.
And it all, the hardware disappears and all you're doing is going next, next, next as you read. Whereas if you don't have a page turn button, what you have to do, like with a phone, is every time you want to turn the page, you have to change your grip, move a finger, cover up the text, do a tap or a swipe, and then move it back. It seems very small, but what it means is you're leaving the zone every page, and I hate it. So for me, the only acceptable Kindle is the Oasis at this point. Yeah. And I hate that they got rid of page turn buttons on their other devices or didn't have them. But the Oasis is also incredibly expensive and not reasonable for most people, which is why I ended up with the Libra 2, because it's the right size and it's way cheaper. And that was my sort of generic my generic recommendation is a Paperwhite because it's cheap and it's good. And most people do not care enough to pay even the cost of a Kobo Libra 2, let alone a Kindle Oasis. But I, as a discerning ebook reader, I feel like the Libra 2 and the Oasis are the best buys right now. And if you want something a little bit larger, that Kobo Sage is also really good because it's basically like a slightly bigger Oasis in terms of its design, because it's got that flush screen instead of having the bezel with the, you know, it's just not quite as nice.
And the something you want in an e-reader is actually something it lacks, which is no distractions, right? And I think that's what a lot of people turn to books writ large
yes.
for. But especially when you're dancing with the devil by holding a computer reader, right? Which
right.
can do a lot of different things. So talk about why this matters to you.
I totally get why people just read on their phones or their iPads. And I, look, the whole time you talk about these weird creatures, these e-readers, they are weird and they found a niche and it's enough that they keep making them, which is great. Mm-hmm. But like the e-ink technology, one of the side effects of the e-ink technology, I mean, I do think it's great. No phone yet made is as good as e-ink is at reading something outdoors in bright sunlight, right?
That's right.
So there's that fundamentally. And now that they light themselves instead of having to clip a book light to them, we've sort of solved all of those problems.
I did that for a while. I had a Kindle with a little clip-on book light.
With a clip-on book light. Absolutely. It was so ridiculous. I was so happy when they got rid of that. There's that. But there's also this idea that it's a unitasker, right? That it's for reading text, and that's what it's for. And your phone and your iPad are not unitaskers; they're multitaskers. They're meant to do that. And while it is true, and I went through this journey that we can talk about in a bit, but I came back to where I started, which is I like having a separate thing that has a very long battery life that I can read outdoors, that I can read in the dark. It's all in one place. It's got all my books on it. That's all it does. And that means that when I put down my phone or my iPad and I pick up my Kindle or Kobo, what I'm doing is leaving the push notifications and the social media and the email and the not just the things that get in my face, but the gnawing part of my brain that's like,
I'll just check Mastodon and see what's going
on
over there.
Totally different when you have to put one device down and pick another device up, or if you're on a plane, like pull one out, but like it is, and therefore it is less distracting and less tempting. And it is and again, the long battery life is really nice too. There are so many things that go into it. So while I went on this journey that I think we'll talk about, what I was really looking for was to try to find ways to get other things I read every day onto my e-reader so that I can have more things that are in the little sequestered area of that. Because I spend every morning reading on an iPad. And
I
thought, well, this is silly. I love the Kobo and the Kindle so much. Why don't I use them? And so I went on a journey and discovered why. Yeah. I don't.
Well, let's talk about that, because I think people that are listening to the show that read book, right? Like they tend to be multi-platform. They'll do audiobooks. They'll do some eBooks. Probably, most. The other thing that's hard about e-readers, and even the big ones, it's hard to go see them, right? It's hard to go find and see one in person, generally speaking.
Like in public,
A Kindle, you can go find a Barnes & Noble. Maybe there's a Nook there. I don't know anywhere that carries a Kobo. I live in Portland, Oregon. I don't know.
I don't think so.
In the areas that's different.
So Walmart probably does. Okay. Walmart has a deal with Rakuten. Kobo. Yeah.
And these are just the big ones. These are the ones we're saying are the not weird devices, right? Before we even get to the books in the TCL Next Chapter 11s where we're talking about.
Yeah.
And for something that is so ergonomic, I think it's a lot like a pen or a notebook, right? Where you're getting your hand size, your reading position,
totally.
Whether you like the metal or the rubber back. Like I like the Oasis. I hate the metal back. That's me.
Yeah.
That's just me.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I know people who love it. And right.
Yeah, totally,
and so that's the. Yeah, when I write about Apple for a living, and I always tell people to go to the Apple store, right? They're like, oh, I don't know which one I should get. And I'm like, well, go to the Apple store.
And those
and you'll
are
see.
those vary way less than your the weird diverge, because like what size of
they can. Yeah. Because some of those large e-readers. No, you're right. I mean, the good thing about Amazon is you can buy anything on Amazon and then return it. And so like and it costs them, but you know what? They know that they'll sell more stuff because
that's
people
right.
will feel free to try it. And so if you're curious about a Paperwhite or an Oasis or whatever, you can just get one and it'll come to your door and you can try it out and then be like, nah. And then within, I think 30 days, you just send it back and they refund
your
money.
You're much more likely to know someone who has it. So like you can try it and you can see, whereas if you're trying these other things, it's really difficult. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is an article I'll link to in the show notes here. Jason has covered e-readers for a long time and read them on a lot of stuff, but this is the one that got me interested because as I'm doing, and frankly, those of us who care about text on the web, and Jason, you've been doing this way longer than I have, like still want to encounter the web text on the web in a regular basis in a way that we can control, whether it's RSS, newsletter subscriptions,
yeah,
you know, Instapaper, like, you know, ad-free reading experiences. Mm-hmm. And why do I have to pick up? Because I use an iPad Pro for stupid reasons, but when I'm doing my news and stuff, but it has all the distractions. It's super heavy and it doesn't do everything that I want it to do. And I've tried Ascribe, I've tried all these things. So I've been looking at these books and everything and thinking, could I have my RSS reader, my eBooks, and my dedicated email address where I get sort of my long-form newsletters, right? My sitting down and reading newsletters all in one place. Mm-hmm. And so I saw you do this. I'm like, Jason, help me out. There's going to be something here. And it doesn't sound... Talk to me about why that sort of holy grail e-reader for nerds doesn't quite work yet.
Yeah, I mean, it's... Books PR saw that I wrote about e-readers, and they were obviously everybody who writes... It's a very small niche. And even though I'm not in the center of it, I don't have an e-reader website. I do have a website where I cover e-readers.
Right,
and so they found me. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad they did. And they sent me one of their e-readers. And I was like, this is real. And then their Android tablets with e-ink screens is what they are.
Right.
And e-ink, for those, I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you know, but like they don't refresh very fast. Right. And so the problem with them fundamentally is that Android is an operating system that one is designed for phones. So the tablet shape is a little bit weird and the apps aren't really designed for it very well, most of them. And two, they are all designed assuming a fast refresh rate on a color LCD backlit screen. And so you can put an e-ink screen on an Android device, but those early books ones especially were just bad. They were just, they were... I mean, also they're a Chinese company and their software was really confusing and bad for a non-Chinese speaker. Their English translations were bad. And so they have gotten a lot better over time. I'm really impressed with them because I felt bad. They're like, oh, check our thing out. And I wrote about it. And I was like, oh, sorry, guys. It's no good. It's no good. It's really interesting, but no good. They have gotten a lot better. And they sent me a device late last year, called the Books Palma, which is a phone-shaped device with an e-ink screen.
That one blew my mind. I never even considered that.
And it was really good. Now, I didn't find it ergonomically very comfortable because it's so narrow. It didn't really fit in my hand. And it's using the volume buttons on the side as page turn buttons. And it's not, the grip is kind of it's awkward. At the same time, though, it's such a bizarre and kind of brilliant idea. And I showed it to some friends when I was traveling and they're like, what is that? Like, it was hilarious.
That's
so
really funny.
But the software story had gotten a lot better. And so I said to them, do you have something that's more like a Kindle Oasis with the same new software on it? And they sent me the Books Page, which is the same size screen as the Oasis and the Kobo Libre 2. Flush screen, which is really nice, runs Android. And what's happened in their software to improve it over time is that they've gotten a lot better. First off, they've gotten some devices with physical buttons, and the physical buttons can generally, a lot of Android apps that involve reading or paging through content have options to let you page down with your volume buttons.
Instead of having to swipe the screen, I guess?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, right.
And that can, and Books is taking advantage of that. They do a lot of them by default. They've also, they have a layer on top of Android where you can tap on any app and you get a whole bunch of e-ink options where you can say, yes, map the volume buttons.
Super
and
cool.
And do a refresh every certain number of things. And you also have some global settings that are really nice. Like if you press and hold one of the page turn buttons, you can set it to do something different. So like I, and this is why it's a tool for nerds, but I was able to set it up. So I was using Next and Previous to turn pages. But if I pressed and hold on the bottom button, it forced an e-ink refresh. So if things weren't refreshing properly, I could just press and hold that. And then everything clears up and it's a lot clearer. So that's, I feel like if you're a nerdy person who wants complete control, who's got Kobo books and Kindle books and regular EPUB books and wants to have them in a non-Amazon device, the Books Page is actually pretty good, but you just have to get it set up.
Yeah.
You have to download the apps and log into the Google Play Store and get all the things to work. But once I did, and this was true with that Books Palma too, once I got to the kind of point where all I really needed to do was put books on it, and these things sync automatically with like Calibre too, so they're very easy to get eBooks onto if you've got eBooks on your computer. Once you get to that point, pretty good. The problem, and you mentioned this, was what I was ultimately trying to do was not just that, but get my newsletters and RSS and stuff in there. And this is like newsletters. I think you could probably do it. There's probably an app
down,
that does
right?
that.
They don't have all the HTML and every the web. I guess the
they're
data
simplified
and the very stuff that's heavy.
Yeah,
on the web,
but the problem is for like RSS, most RSS these days is not full text.
Right.
It's a summary, and then you have to read the web page. And the web, I love the web, but the web on these devices is mobile web. It's intended for phones with fast refreshing screens. And so those web views, they don't page well. You usually have to set up this hack where you press the page button and it does a fake finger scroll, which swipes the text up the e-ink screen, creating a big smudge that it then has to refresh, or you have to refresh.
Fake finger scroll is
like,
not a hack you want to hear.
Animated ads,
yeah,
because it's web pages on newspaper sites and stuff, and the animated ads are muddy and awful because they think that you're on a bright color screen and you're not. And so that's where it all falls down. And some of those apps have reader features where they load the web page and then they simplify it. I feel like there could probably be an Android RSS reader that does this just well enough that you could get by. That supports e-ink and supports paging and supports automatically loading pages, but displaying them in a reader view, that you could probably do it. I couldn't find one that I thought was good enough. Yeah. And the truth is some newspapers, for example, don't even do RSS. Like my local paper, the San Francisco Chronicle, doesn't even do RSS. So then I'm stuck with their mobile app, which again is written for a phone, not an e-ink tablet. And it just kind of falls apart. Now, I used to read my local newspaper on the Kindle because they used to have Kindle editions of newspapers. And while they weren't timely, they only came out once a day. I did read on my Kindle every morning instead.
I really missed those.
My holy grail is that I should be able to say, and if this was a bigger market, Amazon would probably write, or Kobo would probably write something like Apple News that was a news aggregator that was designed for the e-ink platform, and that would work. But it's too small a market, and those don't exist. So in the end, what I came to is a realization that most of these Android apps aren't good enough, but that the Kindle app is, and the Kobo app is not as good as a Kobo. The Kindle app is as good as a Kindle. The Kobo app is not as good as a Kobo. It doesn't support other additional fonts. It doesn't let you turn off justification. There's like a lot of things about it. It's just a bad app. It's workable, but it's fine. And then there are some good generic e-readers. Moon Plus Reader Pro is what I settled on. I think it's really good. There are other like EPUB book readers for Android.
BlueFire I've used for a long time.
And they support page turn and they do all those things. So you could totally do it. If you are, again, a nerdy person who wants to take complete control, you can do it. It's just you're going to be disappointed by everything outside of the basics, at least right now. The RSS stuff isn't quite good enough. And then I came with one diversion, which we can talk about. I came to the realization that I think if I want to go forward with doing more on my Kindle or my Kobo, my choices are really, I think there's Pocket integration on the Kobo. I think my next attempt should be to get all of my email newsletters to go into Pocket, because then they'll go to the Kobo via that.
I've never messed with that integration. I don't know.
But the truth is that I have settled into a pretty good routine with my RSS reader on my iPad in the morning, where all my newsletters are in there. I have them. Feedbin is my service that I use. There's an email to Feedbin gateway. So all my newsletters go to Feedbin. They appear in my RSS along with the RSS feeds that I've got. And that gets me most of what I can do on my iPad. And when I get kicked to the web, it's okay because I've got an iPad and the iPad knows how to work with the web in a way that an e-ink screen can't. So I just came back to that thought, which is I think really in the end, these things are for books, and I wish they were for more than that, but I just don't think the software is capable. Now, maybe someday you could have an e-ink-like screen that also had fast refresh and all of those other things, but then aren't you just using an iPad? Which is what I discovered when I used that weird TCL thing that we could
talk about. That was going to be my question, because at some point, the limitations of an e-ink screen provide all the features where we kind of like about the no distractionness, right? Because it's a limitation on what the device can actually do well.
Mm-hmm.
And if it can't do those things, you're not going to pop out to Safari. You're not going to pop right. out to Instagram. You know, if it was a good enough screen, theoretically, you could do all the things that we'd keep.
Totally.
And so we're kind of looking for this weird, like, you know, kind of that orbital window to come back, that thin slice of paper where it's good enough to read a comic in full color e-ink with a good refresh rate, but not so good that I can't go out to Twitter or X or whatever else you want to call it now.
Yeah. And it's and so TCL, the display manufacturer, also does a line of Android tablets, and they have this thing called Next Paper, this product line called Next Paper. And I tried the Next Paper 11. They also have it for like phones and stuff. Next Paper 11, it's an 11-inch widescreen tablet, but it's got, again, they've done some, because it's Android, they've done some tweaking where you can go into like a black and white mode, and they've got a reader mode. And then they've also built, it's, since they're a screen maker, they have built the, it's like having a screen protector on an iPad, except it's built into the screen. They've got a serious anti-glare thing that's like putting a paper-like screen protector on an iPad. And they've done some hardware and some software to try to get it so that when you're viewing the Kindle app in black and white on the Next Paper 11, it's like you're viewing two pages that could just as easily be on a Kindle or a Kobo. And it works okay. The problem is, at that point, I might as well just put a screen protector on an iPad. An iPad right. accessibility, you can turn it into black and white mode.
Right.
Because it's full animation, which means that, you know, all the, and there's no page turn buttons per se, they're just volume buttons. So you're doing swipes, and it's doing the full animated page swipes, and the web browser's right there, and it's a full color, full animated. And I realized that while it was a pretty good, like, fake Kindle in some ways, it was really just like a tablet with some Kindle-esque features. Yeah. And that, in that moment where I realized, oh, well, now I can just watch YouTube videos on this thing, that's when I realized I don't want this, right? Like, this has gone too far at this point. Cause right, if you wrap around too far, you might as well, I have an iPad Pro too. Yes. You might as well just use the iPad. Like, yeah. why am I not just reading books on the iPad at this point?
And I go in circles. I go back right? and forth. I'm dedicated Kindle, Paperwhite Oasis. And then for whatever reason, I'll come back and then I'm on my iPad. Then I get frustrated with it. Why am I on my iPad? And I go back to my Kindle. And yeah. it's that very like recursive cycle of never quite being happy with either of them.
And I don't like reading books on my iPad. Yeah. I don't. I do read them sometimes on my iPhone, but that is largely because I'm at a doctor's office or something. And I can use Kindle Sync or the Kobo Sync to get me to, and then I'll read a few pages there. And then when I get back, it syncs the position. That's really convenient. But like, as a first choice, I never read off of a regular e-reader. So I came up with my list after being confronted with the TCL product, which right. is like, okay, yes, what if you could have it all? I realized it was too much. So it's like, first off, it's the reflective screen in the bright yep. sunlight and a very controllable light in the dark. The TCL can't do that because in the end, it's a backlit screen. That's just what it is. Even with its glare coating on it, it's still way more glary than an e-ink reader. Ergonomics, like the TCL was so wide and it was like a two page. It's like, no, I want that thing that I can hold in my hand right. and I want the page turn button under my thumb so that I can turn the pages. And then no distractions is number three, which is, it's not just the push notifications, because you can turn those off. It's the knowledge that the entire internet awaits you with a yeah. single swipe.
That's right.
And being and not having it be a little more of a thing. And everybody's brain is going to work differently. But for me, having that one barrier of I have to pick up another device to do the rest of those things. When I turn off the light at night and I'm reading in my Kobo, my iPad's right there, but I don't go back to it because I'm done with that. I'm Kobo now. This is yeah, what I'm doing
right,
now.
Right.
And then my fourth thing, which is, lest we forget, especially if you turn the Wi-Fi off, e-readers last forever. And that TCL tablet is still just a tablet. It is going to run out of battery in 10 hours because it's just a tablet with a battery. 10 mm-hmm. hours, 15 hours, whatever it is, it is just a tablet. And e-ink readers with the power turned, with the Wi-Fi turned off especially, will last for weeks. And with the Wi-Fi on, for the most part, they will last at least a week. So those are the four, I think, tenets for me. I admit, I've thought about, what if I just got an iPad mini and I put a paper-like protector, mm-hmm. anti-glare protector on it? would that make me happier in more circumstances for reading? I think the answer is yes, but even then, I think it would maybe make me happier reading the RSS in the morning because it would be a little slimmed down.
Yeah.
But in the end,
still, I mean, you're still doing that thumb.
I'm still swiping and tapping and all those things.
Yeah.
And I just find that isolated e-reader experience. It gets me out of my own life and gets me out of my own head. And so basically at this point, books, and if I get a link to a very long article on the web, I will send those to Pocket. And then I can read. That's a great weekend morning thing, because on the weekend, the RSS feeds are pretty scant.
Yeah.
And that's a really nice time to flip over to Pocket on the Kobo and read long articles that I've saved there during the week. And that's a pretty great experience too.
Yeah. Get you out on this. I'm cognizant of the time here a little bit. A couple things. One of the person I know who reads the most, book riot contributor Liberty Hardy, she has a very peculiar preferred reading experience. So she likes to read on her computer screen, like a desktop screen. She likes the angle. She can sit back. She likes everything else like that, which got me thinking about e-reading apps on Vision Pro. You strap the thing on and you lean back. I'm sure you've thought about this a little bit. Is that attractive to you? I mean, everything about the ergonomics of the device, maybe you know something you probably can't talk about if you do, but is that sort of interesting, or is that just now it's the whole web and everything is in my face and I get none of the features that we really like from an e-reader, which is a sort of isolation or coordinating off from the web?
Everything I know about Vision Pro, I can talk about. Because as we record this, I had one demo with it that was in June for 30 minutes. It's an interesting idea, like leaving aside the fact that we have a lot of open questions about the ergonomics of it. Will it be comfortable putting this thing on your face for 30 minutes, for an hour, for 2 hours, all these questions. But I have two observations to make. One is about the no distractions thing. I think, although Apple makes the Vision Pro be a augmented reality first device, when you put it on, it shows you your surroundings overlaid with stuff that doesn't put you in a fantasy world on a spaceship or something. It can put you in a fantasy world on a spaceship or something. So I think there is a possibility that in certain circumstances, you might actually enjoy turning the dial and being in a virtual location where all you've got is your one window and it's the thing you're reading, that you could actually reduce distraction.
Gotcha.
And maybe you even pop in headphones and you have a background noise or music if you like that or whatever. So I think that it can let you block out distractions. And actually the way that works, that's very clever, that it, we'll see how it works in practice. But the idea is, okay, yeah, but I couldn't do that on a plane, because what if the flight attendant needs to talk to me?
Right.
Well, the way it's supposed to work is it's got cameras looking all around. If a person, like the flight attendant, is standing there and they're looking right at you, they break through. It knows that they're looking at you and they break through.
That's so weird.
And then you see them like they're coming through a haze, and then you can turn your attention to them. So theoretically, you could even use it in a public place without fear that somebody is stealing your stuff.
Yeah, or trying to get your attention.
I don't know about
or
that.
Whatever. Yeah, very strange.
But my second thing, and this comes from my 30 minutes with the beta version of the software back in June, is Apple talks a lot about being able to read on it. And I have friends who I have heard from who have had the chance to use this in an extended way and say they actually like reading on it. I thought that Apple overhyped the quality of the
resolution
display for crisp text.
Yeah.
To me, it feels substandard compared to reading on a high resolution device like an iPad or an iPhone, or honestly, at this point, even an e-ink device.
Right.
So I'm skeptical of it as a dedicated reading platform, but I've heard from people who've used it who say that they like it. So it's a possibility. I mean, it's a lot of money. For an e-reader.
I guess I'm not even thinking about this one, but like subsequent versions, right?
In
they're
the
going to get lighter. They're going to get cheaper. The screens are going to get higher resolution.
Maybe.
But I don't know if it does a thing.
The dream is, I think, and I do legitimately think Apple's dream is that in 10 years, they make something that you can wear like glasses.
Right.
That will also be able to overlay stuff. And at that point, you have the ability to potentially just sit down and open your book and it's there. And then, tap your fingers together to change the page until somebody comes by, and then you throw the book away out of your vision. Like,
but
that's
still
the dream,
won't pass.
But that's
Snell's
way
mandate
out.
Number three, though. It still won't, which is no distractions, right?
Yeah. I mean, at that point, you would turn on Do Not Disturb or something,
okay,
right? You
know,
like,
yeah.
You could actually do that with Apple stuff, where if you open Kindle, you can turn on Do Not Disturb. Like, you can do some of that. It's just, but the other part of it, which is, yeah, but I know that I can just press the button and bring up my social media
app. Yeah, or
do my
special hand incantation and get the thing
exactly,
to turn off the jump out.
Get it out there.
Okay,
yes,
that brings
true.
Us to the
that's
present true. And near future. I want to get you out on this as a serious reader. I always ask readers when on here, was there a last book that comes to mind that over-delivered on your reading experience? What comes to mind? Doesn't have to be something new or old or just anything at all
wow.
that over-delivered.
Yeah, we talk, so The Incomparable, my podcast, we do a book club and we read all the shortlist books for like the Hugo and Nebula Awards, the sci-fi fantasy stuff. The last book that blew me away is probably the book The Mountain and the Sea by Ray Naylor.
Yeah.
Which is
octopi.
About intelligent octopi, but also it's also like a dystopian cyberpunk novel at the same time. It's got all the stuff in it that I like. That was legitimately great and one of the best books I read last year. And I just reread, because I was in a moment where I didn't have anything that was knocking down my door. I just reread Ancillary Justice by Anne Leckie, which I first read 10 years ago, and it won all the awards, and it's great. It's still great. Still great, it turns
still
out. Great books are still great.
That whole
so
series
those are
is
two,
really wonderful.
Sci selections. If people haven't read those, they should check them out.
This was great, Jason. It leaves me with as many questions as answers about what my future e-reading is going to be.
Me too.
But I guess we get to keep looking and reading reviews and wondering if the next device will be the one that heals us and saves us from the wider internet out there.
A Kobo Libre 3 that has a flush screen would be nice.
That's pretty simple. I did have on my list, like, what if you could snap your finger and make one e-reader into the existence? So that would be it. Maybe a Kobo 3 with the flush.
I'm very happy with those small Kobos with the page turn buttons, but not having the flush. And I don't need a metal back. I mean, you don't even like the metal back on the Oasis. It's not a deal breaker for me like it is for some people, but boy, yeah, it's not great when like a little crumb gets stuck in the side of your e-reader, and then to wipe it out, you've turned the page. It's like, oh, I hate it. I
think hair or dust or crumbs killed one of my first Kindles like that. Yeah. I think something got in
I believe
there.
It. Got
yeah, for those of you out there who haven't had an e-reader a while or want one, but don't want to engage with the Amazon Borg, Jason's right. The Kobo series, you know, I think the Libra 2 probably for most people is the...
Yeah.
The Swiss Army pick for most people. Go check that out. I don't know
good
what their
value.
Return policy, right? It's a really good value. You can get your Libby app. I know a lot of Libby readers, a lot of people out there do that. It works really good.
Yeah, you can even browse your library on the Kobo, which is one of the things that it's got over the Kindle. So you can actually go and look and search in your library on OverDrive, if you're an OverDrive library, and get things that way, which is really great. There are a lot of good things. Pocket integration is great for Kobo. And I hear from a lot of people who say, but I've got Kindle books. Like, first off, if you have a Kindle, you don't have to throw it away when you get a Kobo. You can still keep it. But also, the truth is, I mentioned Calibre earlier. Calibre is a free piece of software. It's open source. There is a plugin available separately that is called DDRM. And if you've got a Kindle, you can put in your Kindle serial number and you can download books from Amazon's website, but for USB transfer and drag them into Calibre and then send them to the Kobo, and it works. So I there are ways that I consider perfectly morally acceptable, even if they might technically be violations, because in the end I bought that book and I want to place shift it to be on the Kobo instead of the Kindle. I'm not pirating the book. Right. I'm literally just moving it from one device to another. So there are ways to get books from your Kindle library off onto a Kobo if you really want to go that route. But I also say to people, like, keep your old Kindle around and then read those books on there, but buy your new books. The Kobo store is competitive. It's almost always price competitive with the Kindle store. And then, you know, anything that you can get DRM free will just load on the Kobo and it's fine.
You can read more from Jason Snell at Six Colors. Link in the show notes there. Check out The Incomparable. There's a whole other slate of podcasts you can pick and choose from. You guys were covering Wheel of Time. You were covering Foundation. So if you're into adaptations, especially
lots of pop culture stuff,
go check it out. Thank you so much for taking the time, Jason. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you. It's been great. So few people care. So I'm glad that you care.
Thanks so much to Jason for joining me. Check out sixcolors.com, and specifically the piece he wrote that I referenced. It got me excited to talk to him about e-readers. That'll be in the link in the show notes, bookrack.com/listen. Also check out The Incomparable. Jason hosts, facilitates a wonderful nerd culture podcast there. They have their own book club, The Incomparable, wherever you get your podcast. On for First Edition, check out our newsletter. I'm putting it up regularly here, also a couple times a month. It could be some book picks, transcriptions, other things going on. Link in the show notes there. Also email firstedition@bookriot.com if you've got feedback. Did you like this segment? Would you like to see more segments like this? I'm experimenting and playing here, and then look out for the next couple of shows in March. I've got some good ones coming out. Also love your ideas for other segments you'd like to see me cover. So thanks so much for listening to First Edition, and until next time, read something great.